the host of Out There here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of state.
We don't care if we live. And yes, it is Friday, April 17th, says the studio calendar, 2026. I'm live here in the studio. Your host, Ruthie. For today's show, I have clips from an EnviroFest at Smith College that happened this afternoon. And I got some music. Oh, the music that I have lined up for today is about buses and public transit kinds of things. And I might play an interview from last September with my friend Matthew Wallace and his gardening project in Maryland. We'll see. But first, I should say there's going to be Bike Lab tomorrow, April 18th, Saturday, April 18th. Bike Lab, 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Oh, shoot, I won't be there. I just remembered. I'm going to Kentucky tomorrow. I just remembered because I just decided yesterday. So I only had forgotten it for one day. Yeah, I've been trying to get away from Cairns for cancer, get some coverage there so I could go to Kentucky. And I got it, so I should be gone for two and a half to 3 weeks. Taking the bus and going to see my dad. He's 90, doing pretty good. But yeah, what else? Oh yeah, I'm mentioning Cairns for Cancer. If you're a new listener to Valley Free Radio and you haven't heard me talk about Cairns for Cancer yet, that's out at Valley Recycling, 234 East Hampton Road. You can donate your redeemable cans, bottles, plastic, glass, aluminum, anything with the Massachusetts stamp on it. Yeah, yesterday, my co-collaborator, Kalia, and I took a U-Haul full of cans and bottles to North Adams. That was the nearest bulk redemption center we could find that could take us at the time that we needed to go. And we needed to go because the container out at Valley Recycling was very full. And donations kept on coming in. There's a place in North Adams called B Fair, capital B, capital F-A-I-R. And I'm not looking at the website right now, but if I recall correctly, it's kind of like a social service agency that works with people with disabilities, like mental disabilities, I believe. And they created this redemption center, and they have like people sorting. So they gave us a tour of it. It was really nice to see how they sort and count, and I learned a lot. That was part of the reason we went so far, 46 miles, I believe it is, from Northampton to North Adams. But so at Cairns for Cancer, we wish that we could have some distributor like Tomra or some distributor. We wish we could have them pick up from us, but in order to have a distributor pick up, you got to sort into a lot of categories. So I was at B Fair. I was looking in their sorting floor, in their sorting room, and I counted at least 40 different categories. Because, you know, you got Stop and Shop, you got Big Y, you got Trader Joe's, you got Walmart. I don't want to give more free advertising to the whatever. But, you know, welcome to American capitalist consumer beverage industry. So many different bottled drinks out there. I really like the single brand of water that comes from the reservoirs and the rain, the sky, and the earth, the wells, and all that. No bottles, no trucking, no transport, no cans to redeem. That would be just fine if there were no cans to redeem. Anyway, I digress. Where was I? Yeah, so 40 different categories. You got to divide up these like water, like this is just like carbonated beverages and beer. You got plastic, you got cans, you got different sizes of plastic, different sizes of cans, plus all the different brands. And some of the brands, like I'll call them like the big three that everyone's heard of. I don't want to mention them on the air, but they own multiple other popular makes and models. But still, there's a lot of categories to sort into. And I don't really think that Cairns for Cancer has the space or the interest in sorting in that many categories, because we kind of work outside at Valley Recycling, And if the wind blows and you got 40 barrels, good luck chasing those cans all over Valley Recycling's lot where the cars and trucks and garbage trucks and pedal people's trailers are coming and going. And if you had an inside space to do it, which is kind of what you need, then that means you're working inside. I don't want to work inside. I want to work outside. So in conclusion of my brainstorm on this process, I think what we want is we want to find somebody, some truck, some empty truck, like an empty box truck or a box truck that goes somewhere through Northampton, from or through Northampton to North Adams periodically with empty space, like it does deliveries coming this way and goes back empty, or one that comes down from like Greenfield, Vermont, coming down this way and then heads back north up I-91 empty, or maybe one that comes from like the Boston, Worcester area that goes back to Worcester empty. There's a redemption center in Worcester too. Yeah, empty, and wouldn't mind some bags of redeemables and boxes of glass beer bottles in the back of that empty truck. And we'd come along, one of us would come along and unload it at the redemption center, and you'd be supporting the Cancer Connection or maybe the Cooley Dick Cancer Center or whoever we donate to. Well, if anyone has ideas, let me know. Ruthie, Ruthy, at pedalpeople.coop. Or you can find me at Cans for Cancer. Wait, no, I'm going to Kentucky for the next 3 weeks, and I won't even be at Bike Lab. Well, you can find me in 3 weeks. Or you can find me on the Pedal People website virtually, whatever that means. Come by 140 Pine Street. I am here sitting in the studio from 4 to 5 p.m. right now, Friday, April 17th. But the door is locked because I'm in the studio and you can't get in. I digress. All right. So next on out there, I said I had interviews from the Smith College Enviro Fair. I'm not sure if that's the actual exact formal name. Last week on out there, I said that I wasn't able to get the interviews off of my phone onto the computer, onto Audacity, so I could edit them. Well, I got the same issue this week. Surprise, surprise. But the blessing of that means that, hey, I'm not spending any of my time editing clips for my show. So this is the raw clip.
All right. What's your name?
My name's Gabby, and I work at the Center for the Environment and Sustainability at Smith, or SEEDS. And we work on a bunch of different things on campus, like related to sustainability and like environmental initiatives. We have a bunch of different things going. We have some things about McLeish Field Station here, which is like one of the like locations that we have a lot of like nature related programs, and some information about like sustainability on campus and like geothermal projects and student activities, and some pamphlets about the local trails.
Where is the McLeish Field Station?
I'm not completely sure.
Okay.
But I know it's like a little far from campus.
Yeah, okay.
So they usually have Field Station Fridays, which are like when students can sign up for a trip to there. Cool. Really awesome. Yeah.
What attracted you to work or be involved with SEEDS?
Yeah. I came to Smith looking towards like environmental and sustainability major, and I still love that stuff. And I'm like the type of person who I really am passionate about like social change and like pushing for like this type of thing. And so I became like my house eco rep, and then I met Becca through that, and I ended up being a employee for Eco Reps. So I'm one of the coordinators for Eco Reps, so we just like have little programs and stuff for the Eco Reps, which are like people in their houses that like advocate for sustainability. And bubbles, oh my god, fun. So that's really cool, and I love SEEDS and I love the good work that they do on campus to advocate for like sustainability and looking after our environment and keeping our campus beautiful and green. So, yeah.
Do you know anything about what's going on with the geothermal, how far along it is, or how big of a project that is?
Yeah, so the geothermal project is a part of a goal to get Smith like completely off of like natural gas reliant energy and switching to like geothermal reliant energy sources, which is really cool because it's lower emissions. And I think like a lot of the houses have it so far. I know my house, Lamont, does. But some of the academic buildings are still getting it. But it's really cool, and yeah, it's basically like a heating and cooling system without the carbon emissions, which is awesome.
Using the earth.
Yes.
Cool. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's it.
Thanks for sharing. Awesome.
Thank you so much. If you want any chocolate.
All right, friends. I just realized that I forgot to hit the automation button, so I'm guessing that means that what listeners heard for the first 9 minutes of this show was silence.
Also here at the Sustainability Fair, we have...
I'm Danny McComb with Strong Towns Northampton.
Who else here?
Ryan Merton.
I'm Joey.
And what is Strong Towns?
Yeah, Strong Towns is a nonprofit. We're a local branch of a national nonprofit that focuses on sort of an anti-sprawl thing. It, you know, focuses on getting housing and development in walkable, bikeable areas where you don't have to drive. We focus on safe streets and cities spending money in ways that allow us to be financially solvent by developing in that way.
I saw you on your bike when I was in a car yesterday. Would you believe it?
Wait, I didn't know you ever drove a car.
No, well, I was in a U-Haul.
Okay, all right, you were in a U-Haul.
my friend was driving, but you and your friend were like biking across to Look Park.
Oh, okay, yeah, we were doing a nice little round of Look Park, and I don't know, have you been up to Roberts Hill?
Yeah.
Across from Usante? We biked up there, and then we like hiked, got lost. We hiked all around that area, because I thought there was a loop, but there wasn't really a loop, and then... And then came back and hit the river. So it was a good day, a good hot day.
And then my friend stopped at Cumberland Farms to get gas and dropped me off, and I come out of my quadrennium. There you and your friend go biking back.
Oh, we were again because we ran out of water, and of course there was popsicles, and you know.
But talking about Strong Towns, anyway, I just say that because like, yeah, that's what Strong Towns have. You know, people biking around and see each other around town and here, there, and the conservation areas and that. So can you talk about specific projects or how people can get involved?
Well, you know, we've got like a couple things bubbling. Probably the least exciting and most important is a mapping project. We have some like GIS data nerds who are like, you know, assessing from every location what would be the best walking route and what's like the high stress bike route and trying to identify the intersections that most need crosswalks or signaling or just some way to make them more comfortable for cyclists and walkers. We're also pretty excited about Picture Main Street. I don't know if we formally support it, but like, I sure as heck do. We have one opportunity to make downtown a place where you can walk and bike and feel comfortable, as opposed to making a place where you can drive fast. You know, personally, I'm just trying to like raise awareness of multimodal transportation and all access transit throughout the city, making it nicer to not have to be in a car all the time.
Yeah, I think one other thing that we've recently started to do is sort of nourish this connection between our members and the Smith College group, the Urbaniacs, who are a Smith College-based group of students that are also interested in more sustainable urban development and progressive housing policies and transportation of all different forms and stuff like that. And that's pretty exciting because we might end up working together or doing some projects together, like some Jane's Walks, which are big. Yeah.
So do you all have like a physical base, or is it like a listserv, or you have meetings?
We have an email list that anyone can join. And we have a meeting. We have a monthly meeting for the general membership, the first Wednesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 at the community room in the police department. And we usually have a guest speaker on either transportation or housing. And then, of course, we talk about all the local politics relating to housing and development and transportation, you know, with the road projects, all of that stuff. So that's like kind of the base entry level. And then we have a bunch of subcommittees that people filter out onto to be more active. We have a mobility team and a housing team, a GIS data and mapping team, you know, a bunch of stuff. You know, people who are working with the interns program with Smith and that kind of thing. So once you kind of get in the door and start meeting people and figuring out where you might want to be involved, you could just always go to the monthly meetings and see the interesting speakers, or you could decide to, you know, go to other things or be part of a subcommittee or something like that. So
you have really nice vests too, your bright vests and bright net vests. Where'd you get those?
The Gayor of Northampton provided those to us.
Yeah.
Clay, who's running Pride, like, has all the amazing fancy craft equipment, and he cut us up these amazing reflective, yeah.
And this logo, Jen designed this logo here, right?
Yeah.
Strongtown's Northampton logo, which has a coffee cup for talking, discussion, chatting. And a lot of people, community, a bicycle for alternative transportation.
Notably,
it's a good logo.
Community with, like, children, with people in wheelchairs, like, really recognizing that not just a few fit people need to use this world, but, like, everyone needs to be able to use it.
Yeah. We've been, related to the mapping, we've been trying to launch this Safe Ages and Abilities Network campaign. So we have a presentation that we're trying to shop around to Friends of Northampton Trails and other affinity groups. But, you know, the idea of the All Ages and Abilities Network is that, like, right now we have, like, maybe 10% of people, let's say, are willing to go out and bike. But we know that if it felt safe to bike on the streets, that we could actually get up to 60% of people doing some percentage of their trips on bicycle instead of in cars. And so the All Ages and Abilities Network that is like an effort to try to move the city in a direction that we can get there, that it feels comfortable to be out there on a bike.
You're listening to interview with, who's that? Danny McCann, Ryan Merton, and Joey from Northampton Strongtowns at the Smith College Enviro Fair today. Musical break. This is Frankie Smith with Double Dutch Bus. See, it's about buses, public transit.
Give me a ho if you got your funky bus fare. Off the move your feet. Bus fare, trans pass, that's the way my money lands.
Frankie Smith, Double Dutch Bus. You're listening out there on Valley Free Radio. I hope listeners, I hope you took a minute to dance wherever you're listening. I know I did some dancing in the studio. I didn't even whack the mic with my elbow. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I have more interviews from the Smith College Sustainability Fair. I was going to say something else. I wrote it down on my paper, but I can't find it. All right. Well, let me go back to those interviews. The interview that I interrupted for the dancing was with Danny McCann, Ryan Merton, and Joey from Strong Towns, Northampton. Oh, wait. All the
when
buttons.
I ride to town from the downtown.
Sorry, buttons. Buttons. There's so many buttons.
I've noticed, for me personally, like when I ride to town from the downtown Northampton from Florence, in the past, if I get to the end of the bike path, I'd always take State Street. But now, I'm often on a kick scooter also. But now I'm like, I almost prefer King Street. All the improvements that have been done on King Street, it's so much more bike friendly than it used to be. Now it seems like
100. Yeah, State Street is kind of sketchy sometimes.
It's interesting how it's flip flopped.
I prefer State Street actually. I've gotten almost hit a couple of times on King Street, so I don't let the kids go on King Street. I've instructed them, they can if they're on the sidewalk, because then it takes a little longer for a car to get to them when they're turning. But I've told my kids that they're not allowed to use the bike lanes on King Street, whereas I will bike with them on State Street, because although it is narrow, people are going a little bit slower, and there's not the constant turning traffic that I'm concerned. So when I've almost gotten hit on King Street, it was like someone turning into one of those, you know, turnoffs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I hear you, though. Like, it feels like the infrastructure is somewhat there, you know?
It's definitely improving. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Picture Northampton?
Yes.
Free sticker? Okay, we have tomato. We have...
I have a big bike. Can I take one of each?
A cicada? Yes, of course.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
I have a
free stump.
Whoa.
Cicada. Cicada.
Sick.
Thank you for being here.
Picture Main Street.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah. So, let's see. So people are critical of taking away parking spaces for motor vehicles and how that's going to affect local businesses.
Yeah.
And also, there's criticism and sadness about the number of trees, mature trees that are going to be cut down for it. Anyone want to speak to those concerns?
I remember being in one of the early planning meetings. This must have been like early COVID, where I think it was Wayne Fiden presented, you know, what to do about trees, because the design could have tried to keep as many trees as possible, or it could have tried to plan the optimal tree spread. And I walked downtown for like a week, kind of just looking up, and I was like, a lot of these trees are sad. They're like sickly and scraggly, and they noted that like they're planted in the wrong soil and they're too close to the buildings. And, you know, like, when I really looked discerningly, I was like, it does suck that we're taking down this canopy. But, like, surely better planting with more space, the long run canopy is going to be better. And I'm 100% a long-termer. Like, I'm thinking about, like, what my children will see, not me, you know? So it'll be sad that for like a decade the canopy's not really there. But for the next 60 years it's going to be so much better.
And what about the parking and the disruptions to businesses and people like, oh, downtown Northampton is already struggling, this is just going to kill it?
I think as far as the disruption of the construction, I think the replacement of the infrastructure beneath the road needs to happen anyways, and that's going to constitute a large disruption. So you might as well replace the sidewalks and make the pedestrian infrastructure and cycling infrastructure and also car infrastructure safer and better at the same time, because that, you know, kind of puts both disruptions in one place. And I think as far as the, like, convenient parking, the like slight loss in storefront parking, I think, you know, we just really need to prioritize space for pedestrians over convenient space for cars, which take up so much more room. So that's how we get more foot traffic. You know, pedestrians and people are what bring business, not just like cars.
Physically can't go into businesses.
No, right.
Unless it's a drive-through, the car doesn't get to go into the store. Yeah. So, like, again, you need parking. And, like, we probably need to think about outlying lots and trolleys. You know, like, very few people drive to right where they're going in Boston. Right? You drive to the first T-stop, and you take that in. And, like, we need to start thinking of our parking as moving to the outliers and having more rapid short-run transit. And, like, I'm sure we'll get there. There's people already chewing on that question.
My understanding is also the project will actually increase the number of accessible parking spots.
Yeah.
And the parking garage still has lots of empty spaces. Are you,
yeah.
I don't know, what's that expression about on your face?
Well, just that, like, it's a bummer that the garage is down right now, because, like, just as we're talking about this, that, like, it's under repairs, it's, like, it's harder to lean on that, recognizing that, like, you know, it's a built product that, like, will have a lifespan. But again, that's just, like, we need to think of, like, pushing more parking into the periphery in general, right? We need to think about, like, downtown is where humans on their feet go, and parking is something that, like, happens, I don't know, a quarter mile from downtown, an eighth of a mile.
Yeah. And what you said a minute ago, I had never really thought about how, like, when there's a car parked in front of a store, that's a lot of space that people cannot exist in.
So much space. I mean, and if you think about how narrow the sidewalk is currently in front of some businesses, how difficult it is to navigate as a person outside of a car on the sidewalk, and how that space could really be used better by the businesses that are trying to survive and thrive downtown if they have a better area and more, you know, space to use during the summer and the warm months outside, better seating, more pleasant.
And the real person to talk to is Jen Neary, who thinks that all of downtown should be 30-minute or handicap parking.
15-minute.
Because you're either going in to
all
get something or you need to park close.
Yes. Yes. All of Main Street should be 15-minute pickup or accessibility-oriented parking. Everyone else can park off Main Street.
Yeah.
Everyone else can walk around a corner.
Yeah.
It's better for businesses if people are walking more. And it's better for the people who need the immediate parking to be able to get it at all times. So that's a policy decision. I was present at most of the Picture Main Street development meetings, and I said, what about this idea? And they said, that's a policy decision that could be made later. Still going to be pushing for it.
Why would people not support it? They want to like drive to work and park in front of their own business and
they just want to be able to park on Main Street themselves. Whoever's opposing it is just worried that they won't be able to park right in front of the store they're going to.
I guess if you're going shopping, if you do out an errands downtown, if you drive, I don't drive, but 15 minutes isn't very long to go.
But if you're going to pick up, if you're going to pick up a sandwich, that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thanks.
But there is some subtlety around how you would limit it. I honestly think we could come up with a community standard of like an expectation, like little signs that say we leave these spots for people who need them, 15 minute or accessibility. But you know, ADA placards are hard to get, so lots of people object to that idea.
Just interviewing people from our radio. I do a radio show called Out There on Valley Free Radio.
Oh, nice, good.
I just opened up a pump. A pump, apropos, I would step on a pump in front of that. What table is this?
This is the bike kitchen table.
What's your name?
I'm Hannah.
I'm Anya.
And what do you do with the bike kitchen?
Well, I am the vice president right now. And what we do as a club is provide bike resources for Smith campus. So we rent out bikes for our students during the semester, and we have a lot of tools and people who know things about bikes that can help people fix their bikes.
Yeah, no, I'm just a first year, and I've been working at the bike kitchen as a mechanic, and it's just a really good space for people to share bike knowledge and get to know each other and try new things.
Did you have bike experience before coming here?
Not with fixing bikes. My dad is really into bikes, so we would go ride around a lot. It's been my first time learning about bikes, and it's been really great.
Yeah, before Bike Kitchen, I had not really learned about fixing bikes, but I think that's one of the great things about Bike Kitchen is that you can learn so much there. We're just trying to help people gain the knowledge to be able to fix their bikes. Yeah.
Was it mostly older students that taught you?
Yeah, there were some older students when I joined that had like actual bike experience at professional bike shops taught me everything. But we also have a bunch of like books and stuff, and there's so much information on the internet too, of course. So. Yeah,
and a lot of passed down knowledge from like just people trying to mess around with bikes and like fixing problems that come up as they go.
Yeah, we learn as we go.
Do you have open hours?
Yeah, we have open hours every day except Monday and Friday this semester, but they change semester to semester. Should I share what they are?
Are they open? Can the public?
It's
stop
just
in?
For Smith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Students.
Cool.
For community members, yeah.
Thanks. Do you connect with any of the other bike orgs around town?
I mean, we're trying to connect more, but we're in communication with Bikes for All. When we're not on campus during the summer, for example, they kind of fill the gap and provide Smith students that are on campus during the summer with bikes. And we're trying to make new connections. They have an event they're doing on May 9th. That's in the Forbes Library lawn, just like a pop-up fixing event that I'm going to try to go to and help them out with.
Hannah knows a lot more about this than I do. I know our current president, Aviva, has been working with pedal people recently. We're trying to make more of a bridge between like the Smith community and the local Northampton community.
In full divulgement,
I can cut that. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Those were some interviews with people at the Smith College Enviro Fair this afternoon. Most recently, that was Hannah and Anya from the Smith College Bike Kitchen. Before that was Danny McCann, Ryan Merton, and Joey Engineeri from Strong Towns. And the background music was provided by a Smith College band that was live music there singing.
I didn't choose the volume. But it's really hard for me to supply other background music. So yeah, thanks for the background music there, band. When Ryan was talking about cutting down some of the trees on Main Street for the Picture Main Street project, it made me think about the rail trail connection between the Manhattan Rail Trail out by Valley Recycling that's currently under construction going up to Route 66 to connect to Ice Pond Road, which connects to the Rocky Hill, I think, co-housing communities off of Florence Road. But that, where they've taken down so many trees there to create this new rail trail. Some of it is where the current power line right-of-way clearing is. But I think to meet ADA grade requirements, they had to do a big switchback and take down a bunch of trees. And when I see that, and that's an area that's open to the public, like Northampton Conservation Land, you can walk around. There's trails there. So I've walked around there for a while before they even began the construction. But when I see all the trees they cut down, I can't help but think, deforestation now to prevent deforestation later. That's the idea, I guess. Building these infrastructure networks that can be more, in general, a little more narrow than a road and allow bike, ped, small vehicle, like e-bikes, electric wheelchairs, that kind of thing, small vehicle transportation. Well, also Jen Neary was talking about limiting parking to 15 minutes downtown and encouraging walking. You can walk around the corner or whatever. And on that note, I'm going to play Fats Domino walking to New Orleans. If Fats can walk to New Orleans, I bet we can walk around the corner in downtown Northampton. Good pair of walking shoes is probably good for walking. Another thing that's good for walking is a good pair of knees. Speaking of knees, I haven't been biking because of a knee issue. No pain, just a Baker cyst that likes to fill up with synovial fluid the more I bike. And I decided after over a year, probably a couple years of, well, a year of thinking about it hard and a few years of trying to navigate it, I decided to get the surgery that was offered to me in June. So maybe I'll be able to bike again towards the end of the summer. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. What else? Yep, Bike Lab tomorrow. Bike Lab. Where's my Bike Lab? Where is my Bike Lab clip? Ha.
Hi, I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on...
No! Where is my brain? Where is my brain?
It makes me feel free.
I do it to save money.
I feel in charge when I'm doing it.
It's a healthy way of life.
Why do you bicycle instead of driving a car?
It's a good way to fit more exercise into my day.
Bicycling is a fun, healthy, economical, and fuel-efficient way to travel. Enjoy the ride. Take your bike. Brought to you by the Franklin Regional Council of Governments and Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, with funding provided by the Federal Highway Administration and Massachusetts Executive Office of Transportation. Come visit enjoytherideby-bike.com.
All right, now I think we'll hear from the Quad City DJs with, what is it? Write It? Come on and write it. The Train. Feel free to dance.
I'm on.
don't want to quit dancing to talk in the mic. You've been listening to Out There today. Out There airs Fridays from 4 to 5 with me, your host, Ruthie, and there's archived editions of Out There online at weatherbeard.com/outthereArchive. Stay tuned for Democracy Now, coming up at 5 o'clock, followed by Civil Politics at 6, and Kicking It Worldwide at 7. Table of Contents with Mark Bovee, Fridays from 10 to midnight.